The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Bob Dio, my fine engineer, producer on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to Buckmaster on Wednesday, September 11th, 2019, the 18th anniversary of the terrorist attacks on America. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news talk, worldwide live listening, of course, on my website, buckmastershow.com. All of our podcasts available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Live line number 790-2040. On this day, I kind of look at it as a day of reflection. If you are old enough, you're going to remember the rest of your life, of course, where you were. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo is with us for his every other month visit to the program. We were talking, he was reflecting on the day, and he was a teacher at the time in the Phoenix Union School District. But you were saying, first of all, welcome, Dr. Trujillo. Great to see you.
Great to see you.
You came down getting ready for breakfast that morning, turned the TV on like many people do and did. And what did you see?
Well, it's interesting because I agree with you that on this 18th anniversary of the largest loss of life on an enemy attack on our nation since Pearl Harbor, that morning is sort of my generation's where were you when?
Yes.
Like, this is my generation's JFK moment.
Yeah, right,
and just
right.
Like my father remembers where he was when President Kennedy was shot, I remember very vividly coming downstairs from my condo where I lived in Tempe.
Right.
And getting ready for work, and I'm going into my kitchen, and my first glimpse of the World Trade Center was on the TV screen through my island kitchen as I was reaching into the refrigerator to get something to make for breakfast, and I had to do a double take because I saw these huge plumes of smoke coming up from, at that time for my generation, one of the most iconic symbols of American economic prowess, the Twin Towers. And I immediately dropped what I was doing and I sat in front of my TV set and I didn't move.
Yeah.
I was transfixed for 2 hours and all I did was pick up my phone and start calling family members and telling them that I loved them.
Yeah.
I didn't know if our country was under attack. I called my brother who worked in downtown Los Angeles. I asked him if he's okay. I asked him to go home. I started calling family members. Very, very emotional day.
Yeah.
That I remember very vividly what I was doing and where I was.
I couldn't get dressed fast enough. Threw a tie on and got to Channel 6 because at the time I was host, pretty much the face of Channel 6 on Arizona Illustrated. Gathered all the kids together, and we had a lot of kids that work, and they still do, I think, over there, a lot of interns. And the kids were all crying. And I said, we've got a job to do. You're going to remember this day the rest of your life, but let's all come together as a team. Let's make this a very beneficial experience for all of us as we try to inform people about what's going on. And I'll tell you, the tears disappeared after the kids had a little pep talk. And it's funny, when you change the focus a little bit and you start thinking about your job and what you're doing at hand, a lot of the emotion is put aside temporarily. But I'll share with something I've never shared with anybody, and I'll share it here. After that day, and I worked probably 12, 14 hours straight on the air, I went home. Actually, by the time I got to the car at the University of Arizona, I just burst out crying. And I just cried and cried and cried. It was just such an emotional experience. And I had held those tears all day, but just the floodgates opened because it was there, you know. And I think it was cathartic to let it all hang out.
I had a similar experience as I made my way to work and I somehow staggered through the day. And I know that we finished the day and I remember the other teachers, I was teaching English as a second language at the time, and the other teachers in my department, we were sitting in silence in the teacher's lounge. We, all of us, collectively staggered our way through the day, and we had a little TV on. And I think that those were the first images of people leaping to their death from the World Trade Center.
Yes.
And we just all just broke down and started hugging each other.
Yeah.
And those were such horrific images that are still burned into my mind. And just such an emotional day. And every day that 9/11 comes around, there isn't one 9/11 anniversary that passes that I don't reflect on that day and where I was and the emotions that I felt.
Well, later in the program, we'll talk with our aviation contributor, JetBlue Captain Jeff Lattice, one of the Air Force's highly decorated retired combat fighter pilot. Of course, Jeff, though, now is a captain at JetBlue, and he lives up in Oro Valley, but he flies all over for JetBlue. But he'll reflect about some of his experience and how this day changed his life. All right, on to Tucson Unified School District. First of all, last night, the issue about family life, commonly referred to as sex ed, came up. And is it safe to say, Dr. Trujillo, that this is still very much a work in progress?
It is, Bill. It is definitely a work in progress. And I know that there's a lot of frustration right now on both sides of this issue. But what I'll say is this: as difficult as the process has been, this is actually the process working. The reason that we have public hearings and public forums, and the reason why governing board members make themselves available via email and via community appearances and radio appearances is to collect feedback. And so that's the whole purpose, is for us to, through these different venues, hear from parents, hear from community members, hear from the students, hear from different segments of the community that we serve, present that information to the governing board and make recommendations.
Right.
And that's exactly what we did last night. We are just simply at a place where we're just not ready for this curriculum to be considered for a vote at this time. We have a lot more work to do in terms of correctly informing the parents of the content, of the concepts, of the purpose and the resources that will be used in this curriculum. We need to make it accessible. We need to make it a lot more transparent. And we're going to be working on that over the next couple of months. We need to do a better job of engaging a broader spectrum of stakeholders in this community and making sure that they are very, very clearly informed.
Were there a couple of items that you want more consideration given to?
With regard to this, it is my recommendation that we see abstinence as the primary and the primary recommended method for avoiding unwanted pregnancies or dangerous exposure to sexually transmitted infections. It's not that we're going to have an abstinence-only curriculum.
Uh-huh.
It's that as we're listing all the other forms of contraception, we must always emphasize abstinence and put it at the top of the list. I spent many years working in Phoenix Union in a zip code that had the highest percentage of teen pregnancies and sexually transmitted infection rates. And my philosophy as an educator, even as I mentored many, many at-risk teens back in those days, it was never too late to talk abstinence, even when students were sexually active and finding themselves in trouble. And I was working with them and their families. I never stopped promoting abstinence as a life management skill, as a good decision to make when you're a young person and you're not in a place of maturity, or certainly in an economically viable place to father a child or to have kids. Abstinence is the best decision that you make. And it's not to say that we're being unrealistic and that we expect every kid will choose abstinence every time. We just always have to have it at the top of the list on any lesson that we're talking about contraception. So that'll be one of my major recommendations, Bill. And then I made a recommendation that really put in more structured professional development for our teachers, which is a good idea to do anyway, regarding the district's expectation and our policy that all content, all ideas, doesn't matter if it's sex ed, science, social studies, or government, we have a responsibility to teach concepts and ideas and material and content in a politically and religiously neutral way. That's our obligation. No teacher, no educator should be inserting his or her own personal, political, or religious beliefs on any area of any content in any subject. And I think we really need to make sure that our teachers understand that as we as we consider approving this curriculum.
All right, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo will be with us for segment number two. We continue after the break. We'll be talking about academic achievement. 60% of elementary schools in Tucson Unified showing marked progress, academic progress. That's something certainly to applaud. Also, this the good news story about enrollment and fewer teacher vacancies. So those are three items we'll get to with Dr. Trujillo. But right now, Bob, pull up the noontime temperature for me over in Silver City and Grant. Well, there it is. Look at that. Oh, boy. I was going to say mid-80s because that's where it's been running. But Tucson's been a little bit cooler here these first couple of days. So, yeah, that translates into upper 70s right now. Get out the blanket, right? In Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, we say here every day, they're one of our legacy sponsors. It's just a 3-hour drive over there, and you will notice a difference with the weather, and that's because of that mile-high elevation. Same elevation as Denver, Colorado, about 5,500 feet. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. That's the starting place for where to stay, some great places, what to do, some great opportunities, including the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. If you've not been over there, shown the kids this great area, it's just north of Silver City. Check it out, southwestnewmexico.org. It's Buckmaster on a Wednesday, midweek edition on September 11th. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Love that bumper music. One of the all-time great Chicago. Of course, that's the original configuration when they were still all together. And they may have one or two members from the original group that are doing these tours. They were here in Tucson recently, not too long ago. Anyway, Gabriel Trujillo, Dr. Trujillo, is superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District, and there's some good news concerning TUSD, and it's almost like you say there's good news with TUSD. I think people have been so conditioned. What do you mean, good news? But there is when it comes to academic achievement.
Yeah, we had just a second strong year of academic achievement with AZ Merit. Of course, we got our scores back for English language arts and math, and wow, more than 60%, we were like 64% of elementary schools, of all of our elementary schools, demonstrated at least 5% growth in English language arts, the literacy, the reading, and the writing. And that is just, no other school district has had that sort of systemic increase in literacy, and that is great news. We all know the importance of literacy and the strength of literacy and its ability to carry a kid to academic success. So we're excited. Special recognition for some schools that have come through some tough times. They have been beaten up over the last few years as F-rated schools, D-rated schools. Maldonado, what a wonderful comeback story. Little Maldonado Elementary, they had more than 5% growth in English language arts and math.
That's a lot of people working hard to make that happen.
It's a lot of people working hard. Ochoa Elementary, which Ochoa Community School, F-rated for the last few years.
That school's been around forever.
It's been around forever. Coming back strong, double-digit, 10% increase in math, 8% increase in reading and writing, growing their enrollment by 30 students. It is coming back to life. And those longtime fans of TUSD know the Ochoa story. It was under threat of closure about 6 or 7 years ago, and it got stripped of its magnet status.
Yes.
And it has come up off the mat.
Well,
and
we're
very
them.
Excited to see a school community like that. So we've got some awesome, wonderful success stories out there.
And there's been another big good news story. The enrollment has turned around.
The enrollment has pretty much done an about face. We're never going to stop, Bill. We cannot stop until we increase enrollment. Mm-hmm. So I want to be clear, this is progress,
right,
but it's not perfection.
Okay.
You know, and to be today, right now, day 30, and this district is only down 166 students. You compare us to day 30 last year, we were already down by almost 1,300 students.
Wow.
That is more than an 1,100 student swing.
Wow.
So we have, the good news is that we have dramatically decreased the enrollment loss in this district. But the bad news is we are still losing students, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're down 166 students or you're down one student, you are not in growth mode.
Uh-huh.
So I want to be very clear. This is not the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
We are still declining in enrollment. So while this is good news, this is just a shot in the arm that says that we can do this. We can do this. We can position ourselves for growth. And that's going to be the target for 2020-2021. But what a shot in the arm for morale, and what a shot in the arm for culture and climate. We can be the choice for parents in this district.
So how many years has it been that there has been the declining enrollment?
We have been in a state of declining enrollment for more than a decade. The biggest hits were taken during the school closure year. Definitely the 09 and the 10-11 when we had thousands. But TUSD detractors, those that thrive off of attacking the district, sadly don't have the most popular talking point anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands flee this district that tries to do A, B, and C to student. Can't say that anymore. In fact, we just hit over 16,000 families this year choosing TUSD for open enrollment. Coming to Tucson Unified Schools, more and more we see our gifted and talented education known as GATE.
Mm-hmm.
It is starting to emerge as our preeminent program. OMA, Opening Minds Through the Arts, is another preeminent program. We see families coming from far and wide to have access to these wonderful marquee programs that are uniquely offered in Tucson Unified.
And you shared with us a year or so ago that your plan to turn things around. What was at the crux of the plan? What was the centerpiece to stop the hemorrhaging?
The centerpiece to stop the hemorrhaging was a total and complete overhaul, a systematic dismantling of the way that we do open enrollment, restructuring our open enrollment procedures to get to a place where parents can walk into any local school, no matter where they are in the city, and direct and introduce the concept of online enrollment. Don't make your customer drive downtown in the heat to central office to fill out a paper form to go to a school across the city. What if we created a structure where they drove straight to the school that they wanted to enroll in, and they can enroll online on their phone, on their tablet? That was a real big game changer. I think the second thing that we did that really helped us was we staffed our schools over the summer. We became way more customer service accessible, customer service friendly. Having bodies in schools, which is your high season, is big. And then I won't lie to you, Bill, I've spoken to enough parents where for me it's no longer anecdotal. It's the improved academic product. We saw a tremendous enrollment boost at high school, and it coincides with a year that half of all of our high schools are Arab, and we've seen more student, more families than ever choosing Sabino. And what I've heard from families, especially coming off of the Borman area, Davis-Montham neighborhood, is we want to go to an A-rated school, and boom, there's Sabino, A-rated school of excellence. So we're seeing, and not that a school letter grade measures all of the wonderful things going on in the school. I have my critiques of the letter grade system, but it's what the parents are looking at.
How many failing schools do we have left?
Well, we're waiting for letter grades to come out. Letter grades have not come out.
D or F, say.
But we are still, we were still with 17 as of last year.
In out of how many in the portfolio?
There's 84 schools that are rated.
Okay.
Yes, and we had 17 D and F.
Okay.
And the previous year, we had 24. So we every year, our job is to decrease and to get that number cut down. The exciting thing, when you look at the schools that grew, so many of them were DNF-rated schools. And to see a school like Ochoa, who is coming into this year with an F rating, they will almost certainly shoot up letter grades because of their 10% growth in math and their 8% growth in ELA. Same with Maldonado, which
I
was
bet
also,
the teachers feel better about going to work at those
you
places.
You got to feel good. I mean, you have got to feel good if you're in those communities.
And teachers are making more money, aren't they, in the district? You've bumped them up, and you have fewer teacher vacancies.
We've bumped them up, but our work isn't done. And I'm really, we want to set a goal of taking care of our veteran teachers. I think we need to do better. There are teachers.
Are those the teachers that have been there like 5 years or more? Is that what you kind of consider?
I think
the veterans. What do you 10 years or
phase one of our compensation goals were really to take care of the immediate, right? Let's get first year teachers, let's get them over the hump, let's make an attractive first year salary. We know that teachers are more susceptible to leave the profession in the first 5 years. Let's make sure that the most attractive parts of the compensation plan hit, you know, year one through 10. But now phase two, we have got to really address the idea of compression, meaning when we give these straight across raises, okay, and yes, everybody's getting the same amount.
So those are the across the board.
Yeah, across the board, $2,000.
Yeah.
But if I'm year 25 or year 30, okay, and I'm making $55,000 a year, that $2,000, okay, is not the same percentage increase as it is for the first-year teacher that's making $40,000. They're getting a bigger increase.
Right.
And that's the next challenge, is to make sure that those at the latter end of the pay schedule, that we're honoring them and that we're trying to do right by them. And so that's going to, I think, be more of an immediate goal for us now, to try to equalize, to make sure that we are addressing our veteran teachers. And I'm talking like year 25, 20, 25, 30, those at that end of the schedule.
Before we wrap it up, we've got about 2 minutes before we take our break with the CBS we're doing now at 31 past the hour every day here on the Buckmaster Show. We take a 1 minute break, get caught up from CBS. But before we do that, how are things going with athletics at TUSD? Football season is upon us. And last year there were some issues. We talked about travel schedules and things.
Yeah, there was. There continue to be challenges with travel to Phoenix with Tucson High specifically in terms of the frequency in which we have to travel to play in the Valley Metro region. It's a tough conference. I think Tucson High did a great job of making some master scheduling adjustments, really looking at creating a seventh period physical education weight training option for students That way they're not missing core classes.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of times with those away games, you have to leave before the school day's over.
Right.
So I think that that has been a really good thing for the school. I think we are looking certainly at more comfortable accommodations like charter buses for them instead of having to do the yellow buses there and back.
Whoa, that's a tough one. The yellow bus up on I-10 taking that trip to Phoenix.
And then in the heat.
Oh, boy.
So we want to invest a little bit more in the comfort and the ride. So I think we've got a little bit more work to do, but I'm confident that this is going to be a better experience this year than it was last year.
Overall, we had you on the first day of school, and here we are now 6 weeks in. Overall, things are happy? Are you happy with the results of the school year so far?
I'm happy with the results. I think when I reflect on the first couple months of school, I'm sad that the Family Life Committee issue at the end of the day ended up fracturing the community the way that it did.
Yeah.
I'm going to set a goal to try to bring us all back together.
Okay, we'll get an update from you month after next. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Trujillo, TUSD superintendent. Be right back.
CBS News Update. President Trump says his administration is moving to ban on the federal level flavored vaping fluids that would appeal to children.
People are dying with vaping, so we're looking at it very closely.
Health Secretary Alex Azar.
With now 5 million children regularly using e-cigarettes, we can't allow the benefit to adults from that to come at the expense of our children.
Azar says while flavors like bubble gum will be banned, tobacco-type vape fluid will still be legal for adults.
There is actually some public health need for nicotine, alternative nicotine delivery devices to be available for adults to get off of combustible tobacco.
Ironically, Azar admitting the benefit of two adults of tobacco-flavored vaping one day after the FDA had warned vaping companies against claiming their products were healthier than smoking. And the FDA will be responsible for finalizing compliance. CBS News Update. I'm Jim Shenlevy.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition on this 18th anniversary of 9/11. We get great support from Green Things. What a great destination, not only for all of your plants, but they've got Zocalo over there, and it's doing very well. I was over at Green Things. Can't believe what a really nice 13-acre site. Jan and Jack, the owners, have just, that is a beautiful location. Every imaginable plant for the garden. I picked up a beautiful rose plant, which has now been planted in the Buckmaster backyard and already turning out the most beautiful apricot-colored roses. Apricot with a little tinge of white. And cut a few of those off this morning. So off to a great start at Green Things. So check it out, greenthingsaz.com, the website for Green Things and Zocalo, all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Hunger Walk, the 10th annual Hunger Walk 2019, will benefit the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. The Hunger Walk is this Saturday, and there will be two locations this year, Tucson and Green Valley. Norma Cable is with us, the public relations and marketing specialist for the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. Norma, good to see you.
Yes, and you too, Bill. Thanks for having me today.
And this is a good day to have you because on 9/11, people are thinking, they're reflecting, you know, how can I be of service? I think this whole week is kind of a week of reflection. One way you could be of service is helping out during Hunger Action Month.
Absolutely, and that is a great point because it is only with the support of the community and for people who have decided to give back to their community that the Community Food Bank exists and keeps running. And Hunger Walk is our signature event. So important for us to see that people are committed to making a difference in the area of hunger, which we know affects 1 in 4 children in Arizona and 1 in 5 adults. And so it's such a great event for us to see these people come out. We're expecting about 1,300 people, 300 in Green Valley, and about 1,000 here in Tucson, and we will walk. And for us, that is usually just the beginning of what we really want to say, that hunger is a problem that needs our attention, that anyone can help, really, with volunteering, with donating, with holding a food drive, with contributing to a food drive, and make a difference. Hunger really hits so many people in Southern Arizona, and the Community Food Bank serves so many people in Southern Arizona. We see that every day as a problem, and we know that we need to make that difference and be committed to doing that.
We have the 5th highest, that's number 5, mm-hmm. highest rate of childhood hunger in
that's
our
right.
country. It is a darn shame that any child has to go to bed hungry.
That's right. And we know also that for children especially, hunger is not just a feeling, that we can see that affecting their brain development, having an effect on how they do in school, how they are with behavior issues. All of that is tied in when a child is not getting enough to eat every day. So we do see that. And the rise also that we're seeing in another demographic, in senior hunger, is really quite...
That's troubling.
It is troubling, and it is a problem that we're seeing when we look at the national average of seniors struggling with hunger across the country. In Arizona, we see that number is higher. And also for older Americans, age 50 to 59, we also see that hunger is striking more of them. And also more of an issue when a child is present in the household, and we know that grandchildren, grandparents, and great-grandparents are often raising children they just didn't plan on at this stage of their life, and sometimes there just isn't enough food to go around.
What will the locations be? What are the venues for the two walks?
Sure. So here in Tucson, we will be starting from Sam Lena Park on Saturday, this Saturday. And you can register online, or you can show up and register on Saturday at 7. We will start walking at 8. So Sam Lena Park, it's Kino Sports Complex. And we just walk up Country Club and then walk through the warehouse. And new this year, you are going to stop and pack an emergency Tasty Food Bag. And for so many people, I think that's eye-opening to see what goes into that bag. And that bag that you pack is going to be distributed to someone in need across Southern Arizona. And then in Green Valley, the Hunger Walk also goes on simultaneously, same time. You can register at 7, you can start walking at 8, and that is at La Posada in Green Valley.
And the bag you pack will go toward the 71 million pounds of food that was distributed.
That's right. That's right.
That's a lot of food.
That's right. And we're serving almost 190,000 people each year with emergency food. And that is across those five counties of Southern Arizona that we serve. Those are children, those are working families and seniors.
Would you encourage folks to bring food to the food bank walk, or how is
Absolutely.
That going to work?
Okay. Well, we never would turn that down,
no,
right?
No. And what should they bring?
Absolutely.
Perhaps?
Well, okay. You should come prepared to be out in the sun. So probably you want to come with some sunscreen on and a hat, mm-hmm. maybe your water bottle. Mm-hmm. You will pick up your T-shirt there. So we're happy to provide that. And then you should just be prepared with some walking shoes because you are going to be walking up Country Club and then through the warehouse. If you would like to bring a food donation, that's great. If you would also like to bring any funds that you have raised through some fundraising with your team or because your parents want to support you or your friends or your yoga club, whoever, mm-hmm. We welcome those donations to come in. We are in this together, and we really see that on Hunger Walk. That morning is just really a great way to see all the supporters out there and making something happen.
Big focus in September. I was just looking at your calendar. Every day there's some activity. Give us an example of the range, what's covered.
Absolutely. So September is Hunger Action Month, and that's going on not only here in Tucson and Southern Arizona, but across the country as all of the members of the Feeding America Network of Food Banks take part in this. So Hunger Action Month gives you a chance to attend a special event like Hunger Walk, come and participate, or donate if you can't make it that day, donate online. But then it also gives you a chance to go to a fundraiser. We have a pizza night coming up. We have a way that you can dedicate your social media for a day this coming week to hunger and share our posts and share our tweets and our posts on Instagram and make that message go out further than it would. We also have an event called Fast for Hunger
coming
up. Yeah,
I was just looking at that. You read my mind. Mm-hmm. I find that very interesting. That's on the Tuesday the 24th. You know, doctors are increasingly saying it doesn't really hurt you to maybe take a fast.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. Can help things out. So maybe fast and then donate what maybe you would have eaten that day to
exactly
the food
right.
bank.
Yeah. Exactly right. That's coming up on September
24th. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
And what we're asking people to do is, you know, take a break and go without breakfast mm-hmm. and lunch for the day, and then donate what you would have spent on those meals to the community food bank. If you'd like to, and if you're healthy enough, you certainly can go for the day and fast and give up dinner
sure.
as well. But really, and you're absolutely right, Bill, we do hear more and more
yeah.
about that.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us have too much to eat, right? And
there you
go. Fasting for hunger, a great idea to just take a little break that day.
All right. Again, give us the particulars of this Saturday.
You bet. So it's our 10th annual Hunger Walk. It's taking place at 8 a.m. this Saturday. That is when the walk begins. You want to show up a little earlier at Kino Sports Park, at San Lena Park in Tucson, or at La Posada in Green Valley, and walk with us. Come and join us in making a statement that hunger is just not an issue that we can take lightly and that we certainly can't ignore.
How about the website?
Absolutely. Communityfoodbank.org. You can still sign up. You can sign up all the way up to that morning. And if you haven't signed up yet, then come to the park and tell us, and you can sign up there and then walk with us.
All right. Norma Cable, always a pleasure from the Community
Thank you,
Food
Bill.
Bank. And good luck with the 10th annual Hunger Walk 2019 this Saturday in Tucson and Green Valley. Thank you, Norma.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Coming up next, Jeff Lattis, the Buckmaster Show contributor on aviation. That's right after we take the break. It's Buckmaster on 1030. Tucson's voice for trusted news talk.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA's Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, FlowersRieger.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show midweek edition on this 18th anniversary of the terrorist attacks on the United States. We now welcome our newest contributor to the Buckmaster Show team. He's one of two dozen or so people. I'm just so honored to have these people who are so they're experts in their field. Captain Jeff Lattice, our contributor on aviation, and you couldn't ask for a more knowledgeable professional in the airline and aviation industry. Jeff is a highly decorated retired combat fighter pilot. He's a captain at JetBlue Airways on the Airbus A320 and the Airbus A321. He has nearly 20,000 hours of accident-free flight experience, and he joins us now on the live line from his home in Oro Valley. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Bill. How about yourself?
Doing very well, and I shared with people a few stories about 9/11, and it's one of those days, of course, Jeff, where we all remember exactly where we were. So why don't we hear your story? Where were you?
Well, it's interesting. I was still in the Air Force at the time. I was a standards and evaluation inspect, and I happened to be in Oklahoma City at the time. We were doing an evaluation on an AWACS unit, and we were debriefing. We were just starting our debriefing to the wing commander when we got word that the Twin Towers had been, well, at the time we didn't know they were actually attacked, but yeah, it was in Oklahoma City, really not too far down the road from where the federal building had gotten bombed.
How soon did everybody go on alert, Jeff?
Very quickly there. The AWACS is a very vital aircraft in terms of air defense, and they were activated. As a matter of fact, we didn't even debrief the wing commander. We terminated the debriefing, and they went to work activating the AWACS, and we kind of went back to our rooms waiting to see what we were going to do next. We ended up staying in Oklahoma City for a few days before we could get a flight out of there.
How did 9/11 change your life and your combat experience, Jeff Lattice?
Well, you know, I was nearing the end of my career in 2001. I retired in 2002. And really, in terms of militarily speaking, not a whole lot. Now, the unit that I flew with, because I had to maintain my flight qualifications, they deployed very quickly to the Middle East when we started fighting in Afghanistan. So it was kind of a skeleton crew up there. I'd go up there and maintain my currency, but I was assigned technically here at Davis-Monthan at 12th Air Force. It did affect me in terms of, because I was retiring, I was thinking of, you know, airlines is a pretty logical place for a retired Air Force pilot to go to. And, of course, a lot of the industry pretty much came to a standstill in terms of hiring. I was fairly lucky, I guess, that JetBlue was still hiring, and they hired me fairly quickly after I retired.
Jeff, I'm curious, is the pipeline still from the military into commercial aviation?
You know, not as much as people might think. I would probably say maybe 25% of the pilots in the major airlines come from the military. The majority come from corporate or regional carry operation.
I want to talk a little bit about the Bahamas. You've flown many times into the airfield there, the airport at Freeport. What are you hearing about the situation, Marsh Harbor and Freeport? Not going to be active for a long time, correct?
Yeah, the Marsh Harbor, it's a pretty small airport.
Right.
I don't know really how much it's going to be shut down. We fly into Nassau, actually. Nassau was operational within hours after the hurricane passed. It was minimally affected. But that was a very strong storm. And what was surprising is how long it lingered over the Bahamas. They were seeing winds of over 180 knots, which is about 200 miles an hour, for hours, like 12 hours. Over Freeport and Marsh Harbor. So that was totally destructive.
Well, I can imagine what it was like because I did go through a hurricane back in 1996, Hurricane Bertha. We were on the island of St. Martin, and we took a direct hit, and I think the wind blew for about 16, 17 hours, and I remember about 8 o'clock in the morning when the eye went directly overhead. It was the most weird feeling. The birds started singing again. Sun was out overhead.
For a few minutes.
I would say so, yeah. And as you know, Jeff, the winds on that backside are worse than the front side, so we really got hammered on the backside, but it was a mess. I can only imagine the people there have just, and you know, there's this, a lot of Americans aren't very good, Jeff Lattice, with geography, and they think all the Bahamas have been destroyed. Well, I think the country of the Bahamas has 7 to 10 major kind of islands, but there's like 700 islands in the archipelago, as you know, and Nassau, the main island of New Providence. The tourism industry really has not been affected on Nassau, has it?
No, as a matter of fact, like I was saying, we were flying JetBlue anyway. We fly a lot into Nassau. We were flying in there hours before and really literally hours after. You can actually fly fairly close to hurricanes. It's pretty amazing. They're fairly concentrated. This one was a little bit broader, and we closed down our Florida operation for a day and a half in Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, Jacksonville, you know, all along the coast there for a day and a half or so. But I think a lot of it was erring on caution because, you know, the winds were fairly high, but it was still probably operable. But it did shut us down a little bit.
What are the limits on winds for the aircraft you fly, landings and takeoffs on the A320 and the 321? What is considered operational, Jeff Lattice?
If it's a 38 knot crosswind is our limitation, and depends whether you're taking off or landing. Landing, we can go up to a 10 knot tailwind and a 15 knot tailwind for takeoff.
And translate that knot into what we could understand.
I'm sorry, I'm okay. Using the.
I know. Yeah, you go.
It's probably about a 43 miles an hour crosswind.
Okay.
And about 18 knots on takeoff, tailwind, and, you know, 13 to 15 knots or miles per hour landing, or, yes, landing.
All right. Jeff, I want to get a quick update on the MAX. Of course, the Federal Aviation Administration grounded all of the Boeing 737 MAX planes. That was back March 13th, following the two fatal crashes in Indonesia and Ethiopia, killing 346 people. I see United now has moved and grounded the 737. They've moved the MAX over here to Arizona. Southwest is storing them, I think, in the high desert of California. What's your feeling? What are you hearing now in the industry about the MAX?
Well, it's kind of interesting as far as there's several issues dealing around the MAX now. One thing was the software that they were working on for the processor. That was supposed to come out this month. They still have a few more weeks left for the FAA to certify it. You know, that's a difficult, they've been really quiet about this. The processor seems to be part of the problem because it's a fairly simple processor. It can't handle too many complicated equation, you might say. It'd be like using a 25, 30-year-old computer on today's software, you know, and you know how that might go.
Right.
So, you know, that is an issue. I don't know if they're planning on replacing that processor or not, but that's the biggest thing they have to overcome. The second thing that has come up is that Europe has decided that they are not going to follow the FAA's lead. There's tends to be a less more distrust with the FAA right now because some of the issues that happened as the MAX was allowed to fly,
right.
The FAA kind of cut some corners.
Mm-hmm.
And the European Aviation Safety Agency, which is the equivalent of the FAA, says they're going to test the airplane separately.
No, I had not heard that, Jeff, so that is a departure.
Yeah, that's fairly new. That means any American-registered aircraft will not be allowed to fly into Europe, and any European-registered aircraft won't be allowed to fly until they actually do their testing. It's not going to impact the United States-registered airplanes that much, but American and Southwest and United, they fly into the Caribbean, and I'm not too sure how the Caribbean countries are going to deal with the certification. They might wait until the European certification happens, which will probably be next year. The other issue that's going to be complex is pilot training. Pilots have to go to training once a year, and in order for them to train, which they're all going to do now, from what I understand, on the MAX itself, the problem, the emergency that they've had,
right,
it could take a year for all the pilots to get qualified to do this. So I'm not too sure if they're going to send their pilots in for special training in the simulator or if they're going to certify a few of the pilots to fly nothing but the MAX aircraft.
It's a mess. It's a mess, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
even so, there's a lot of them sitting on the ramp right now. There's 200 up in Washington at the plant, but like you say, Southwest is about 35. American has around 30.
Oh, I know.
United is 14.
All right.
And there's about 600 of them.
Wow.
In Europe.
Gonna have to run, Jeff Lattice. I appreciate the time. Thank you so much, sir.
You bet. Thank you, Bill. Bye-bye.
JetBlue Captain Jeff Lattice. He's our aviation contributor on the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster on behalf of Bob Dio. Thanks for listening. Have a great afternoon.